I want you to write this title down. Today's message is on faith, feelings, and emotions. I'm going to be teaching on faith, feelings, and emotions. Because those three elements are waging war in every one of our lives. Our minds, our hearts, and again, so many are ruled by feelings and emotions instead of faith. I want you to jot this subtitle down. The subtitle is Stability in Christ. Because I believe that as we learn about faith in the Word, faith in Christ, we can have stability. How many of you want to live more of a stable, rock-solid Christian life instead of the roller coaster, great Six Flags Scream machine? You don't want that. You want to get off of that deal, get off of that deal, and learn how to have stability. Now, Psalm 42, let's go to verse 1. And I just want to establish the fact that all through history, the patriarchs, even the heroes of faith, the people that we call the heroes of faith, they had to wrestle and battle with this whole area that we're talking about. David says in verse 1, Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Have you ever just been so thirsty, so hungry for God? I mean, you need an answer, you need a breakthrough, you need God to help you. Maybe you don't even understand all the emotions and the feelings that are just like an onslaught coming on you, and you need God to rescue you. Verse 2, he says, "My soul thirsteth for God." Now remember, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. So when we talk about the soul, let's keep that in mind. We're not talking about the spirit. We're talking about your soul. That is your mind, will, and emotions needs a regular filling up. Charging with the presence of God and the Word of God. Remember, we talked about that. That's why we have devotions. We don't have devotions because, you know, you have to do that in order to make God love you. God already loves you. He loved you, but while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. We have devotions because we believe in that process called divine exchange. And that is that my soul, just like a car's fuel tank, it needs regular filling up. Everybody say, fill her up. And if you don't fill it up, you're going to run out of gas on the side of the road somewhere. Your soul, see, needs God's presence so much. Verse 3, David says, "My tears..." Does that ring a bell in anybody's life? "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And maybe, you know, we need to think of this in terms of David fought physical enemies. But our enemies are demonic in nature. Our enemies are demonic in nature. And so these enemies of our soul so often will whisper thoughts into our consciousness. Where is God? God has let you down. That vision that you thought was from God, that dream that you thought was from God, where is it now? And see, if you buy into the enemy's word versus God's word, faith in a twisted way goes into effect. You begin to have faith in the enemy's word, and he leads you to that destination instead of God's destination. David, he faced this. He says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." I mean, he was in a sad state. He says, "I've been crying. I've been weeping. I don't understand what's going on. You know, I could have sworn that I was anointed to be the king. Why is Saul after me? While they continually send to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul. I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God." Now you need to mark that because, you know, one of the things you need to do is you need to go to God's house. Well, I'm preaching to the choir because you're already here. But so often people will stay away from church because they feel unworthy. Well, I'm not really tight with God right now, so I really probably shouldn't go to the church. That's where you need to go. That's just as dumb as saying, you know, my car's almost out of fuel. I better stay away from the gas station. Hello. Everybody say hello. I know it's Sunday, but this ain't rocket science. When you're out of fuel, you want to pull into where the gas is at. And you cannot replace an atmosphere where the presence, the Word, and the worship of God is. That's called the house of God. And when you get in that presence, as down as you may be and as low as you may feel, God has a way of infusing you with Himself so that that divine exchange occurs. And that gas tank, boy, just watch that meter. Here it comes. Here it comes. Coming up from empty. We got a half a tank now. Coming on up. Coming on up to fuel. Full tank of fuel. He goes on and he says, I want you to mark this. in verse where he says, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. See, there was praise in the house. Everybody say praise in the house. With a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now let me put the definition there. Why are you cast down, mind, will, emotions, feelings? Why do you feel low? Why are you cast down? Anybody ever had a cast down soul? I see three hands. Anybody ever had a cast down soul? I see some lying souls. How many of you had a cast down soul? He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help. Look at that. The help of His countenance. Now, I want to read this from... Have you ever heard of the Message translation? I want to read verses 5 through 8. I know we haven't quite got to verse 8 yet. But I want to read verses 5 through 8 from the Message. Kind of put it in modern terminology. Here's the way they translate this. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, oh glory, when my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of God. Isn't that good? When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything that I know is from God. From Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar, chaos calls to chaos. Now, your Bible says deep calls into deep. They chose to translate this, chaos calls to chaos. I mean, sometimes when one problem hits, it's like there comes another one. I mean, one time you hear a voice of one devil and there's about five of them echoing right behind them. You know they travel in packs. You know that. I said that they travel in packs. You know the devil sent them out two by two as well. So they could keep each other encouraged in a twisted kind of way. Chaos calls to chaos to the tune of white water rapids. I mean, sometimes your problems just roar. You ever been beside white water rapids? I mean, where it makes a noise. Yeah, I mean, like a waterfall, it makes a noise. The breaking surf and thundering breakers crash and crush me. But here's how he ends up with verse 8 according to this translation. Then God promises to love me all day. Sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, why?
Why?
Oh, that's about half of you. Everybody say, why? Are you cast down?
Oh,
my soul.
Trust in God.
Now let's go back. I'm going to go back to the King James Version that I predominantly teach out of. Verse 5, he says, why art thou cast on, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. So, one thing I see about David, and this goes contrary to some so-called faith camps, and that is David did not have a problem with going to God and being honest with God. Now, some people say, you know, you should never, you know, admit that you've got a problem, and I think that's absolutely foolishness. Now, we don't want to get stuck there. Well, you know, we don't want to get stuck there and live there. We're not camping there, all right? We're not driving any stakes in the ground, but there's time to come to God and just say, God, I'm just having a tough time right now. Lord, you know, I just feel overwhelmed within me. My emotions are one day I'm up, one moment I'm up. You know, 1 hour I'm up. The next hour I'm just headed down. And, I really felt this week as I was praying, because I know we just finished one series, and I began to pray, and I mean just early in the week, about Monday, God spoke to me, said, the congregation needs a shot of faith. There are people that are beginning to depend in our congregation I'm talking about, and I'm sure this would be applicable to other people that might hear the message later, but in our congregation right now, time and place, the Holy Spirit said there are people that are now allowing their feelings and their emotions to sit on the throne instead of Jesus on the throne. And you warned them that if they allow feelings and emotions to rule and reign their life, they will be jerked from pillar to post. I mean, those devils will come I'll come over to Carl here. Those devils will come. There's Carl. He's the believer. I'll be the devil. Okay, I'll be the bad guy. And that devil tried to lasso you. Try to lasso you with a feeling and jerk your chain. And here you go. Here you go. You've got to take that noose off of your neck. And you've got to be lassoed into the faith of God. Now, I want to give you a little diagram to put in your notes, and I'm going to give it verbally, but I believe that you'll be able to draw it in your notes. I want you to draw across your page, just say the width of your page, a little choo-choo train. Everybody say the choo-choo train. Ooh, I think I can. I think I can. Here comes that choo-choo train. So I want you to go Hollywood with this. Let me kind of give you a hint how to do this. Just draw a little box, just a little box, and put some wheels on it, kind of like the engine. Why don't you put a smokestack on it? Let's throw a smokestack in there and have a little smoke coming out. Because here comes the engine. Everybody say the engine. This thing's got the power. That's what's pulling the train is the engine, the locomotive engine. All right, right behind the engine, I want you to draw another little car. Put little wheels on that. And then draw some kind of little dark circles like, we're going to go back to the old days like when they used to burn coal. And so just draw some little dark circles like this is the car right behind the engine that has the fuel. It is a coal-burning engine. Today, of course, they use diesel, and they've got gigantic fuel tanks on these locomotives. But for the sake of our study, we've got the engine, and then we've got the coal car. Everybody say the coal car. That's pretty good. Carl, you're doing all right there. Hallelujah. You're doing better than your wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see that. Amen. All right. We know Karen's gifted in music. Amen. But she did not graduate in art. I know that. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Are you tough today? Are you tough? Did I just send your roller coaster back down, you know? All right. Now, we got one more car to draw. I want you to draw a third car, and that is the little caboose. Oh, the cute little caboose. It's a little red caboose, and there's a guy that stands in the waves at everybody. As he goes by, that's his job. He's just paid to sit in that caboose and wave at people. And make all little kids happy. So just draw a little, maybe make it a double stacker caboose. You know, this thing, it's a big caboose. It's a big caboose. Now, I want to label these three cars. And if you'll get the revelation of this, this will help you in a mighty, mighty way. Before I do that, I'd just like to go around and have fun and look at people's things. There. Oh, Laura, that's good. What did you graduate in? Amen. Dave didn't pass that course. Amen. All right. All right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus. All right. Some of you just have to picture this because I know you can't draw it. Now, we're gonna label this. I want you to label underneath it. I want you to label the engine. I want you to label the engine the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Now, that's where the power is. That is what God intended for you to pull your train your life with is the Word of God. Underneath the coal car, I want you to label that faith. Because the Word of God really is void of power until you put a little fuel in it called some faith. Just like that engine has to have the fuel, whether it's coal or diesel or whatever, the Word of God has to have faith. So now, draw a little arrow going from the coal car from the top, just pointing right at the engine, showing that you got to have faith in the Word of God. You got to have faith in the Word of God. Now, I'm primarily talking about the written Word. I'm primarily talking about the written Word of God. But it could also be a word where God has spoken to you. Parents, you listening to me? God has spoken to you about your children. And you got to hold on to what God has said.
Amen.
You got to hold on to what God has said. Some of you business people. And Robbie's one of the businessmen in our church. He's got his own business. You hold on to what God has promised you. You got faith in what God has promised you. Now, we got one more little car that we must label. And that little cute red car, where the guy standing there waves, he smiles at everybody. Hey, big bush, just smile at everybody. I want you to label that feelings. 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 Pastor Jason is going to sing about feelings. I'm auditioning for the worship team. They won't let me up there yet, you know, but I'm just praying that the pastor of the worship team will let me do a solo one day. She said, solo, we can't hear you. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Now watch this. Here's the problem. Just look at your diagram. Here's the problem. The problem is we got a better idea. We got a better idea. We're smarter than God. And so it's like, you know what? I don't think I want to pull my train with the engine. I think I'd like to pull my train with the caboose. So I'm going to put the coal in the caboose. I'm going to put the fuel in the caboose, and I'm hoping I can go down the track and be a mighty woman, a mighty man of God. I know God's called me, and so I'm going to put my faith in my feelings. Look at your neighbor and say, it won't work. Now look back at him and say, you needed that. You getting anything out of this? Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with feelings. In fact, the more that you're renewed in God, you ought to have some feelings. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord. The Bible talks about getting so excited you're going to shout praises to God. You're going to clap your hands. You're going to lift your hands. Might do a little dance. Cut the carpet. Amen. Just do a little jig for the Lord. Have you ever done that? I've done that. There's been times I've been so excited. Now, you know, I typically don't do that in church. I did run around here one time and everybody almost fell out in the Holy Ghost because they saw Pastor Jason running. But you know, there's times alone, I'm telling you, by myself, I dance before the Lord and I just get to moving, and sometimes I jump and shout because I just get so excited. Nothing wrong with feelings. The problem is your feelings were meant to follow your faith. I want you to write that down, because that is one of the paramount lessons that you must learn as a believer. If you don't learn that lesson, yeah, you'll still go to heaven, but you won't enjoy the journey. Pastor, will I make heaven if I don't understand this? Yeah, and you might make it quicker than the rest of us, but you won't enjoy the journey. The way that you're going to enjoy the journey and go through the fog, go through the darkness, go through the problems, is you've got to understand that God intended for your train to be pulled by His Word and your faith in His Word. Now, I got a question for you, and that is this. Can a train run without a caboose?
Yes.
Absolutely, a train can run without the caboose. In fact, today's trains really don't have caboose. Because it's automatic switching. The purpose of that guy, he used to get off the back and he'd go out and switch the track, and then they'd back the train up. Now they've got electronic switching gear. But nevertheless, in your life, you can run without feelings. But some of you don't want to run without feelings. Like, if I don't have my feelings, I'm not going to trust God today. It's kind of like an infant, you know, having a tantrum. You ever seen a little infant have a tantrum? It's embarrassing, isn't it? Now, it's really embarrassing when you've got the infant that's having a tantrum. I remember both Ryan and Joanna, they had their moments, you know. They had their moments. I remember one time we went to a fine restaurant down in, where was it? I think it was Daytona Beach. Gibb, I think it was down in Daytona. Was that where we were? We went to that thing that turned around and cost a whole bunch of money. Lord have mercy. We didn't even get to eat our meals. You know, Ryan, he went ballistic. I don't know what it was. You know, he's about that long at that time. You know how infants, you know, I don't know what gets into them. They start crying and screaming and yelling, you know, and flaying their arms in all manner. Kind of like a deliverance, you know, kind of like a deliverance when a devil's coming out of one of them. And you know, the best you can do, what's polite to do, is you get up and you take your baby out because you don't want to disturb the rest of the crowd and so forth. So we did that. And then here comes this, you know, $25 meal that, you know, we've been planning on all year. This is our moment. This is our moment to enjoy vacation, man. We've been saving up for this. It's like, y'all have a take-home box? Yeah, that's the way our lives are sometimes. Sometimes in our lives, there's things around us that are distracting. There's tantrums going on. Even our very own emotions are up and down, up and down. Sometimes you don't have control of what's around you. Now, you can give it the look all you want. Like they do in restaurants, you know. Some other family, you know, maybe their children are long grown and you forget so easily. Your tolerance level goes way down when your children grow up. And sometimes, you know, they give you that look of like, will you please get control of your child? And you look at them back like, I would if I could. Now, I want to talk about marriages. In marriages, the same thing is true. In marriages, there will be an emotional roller coaster at times among a couple. And you can read the Bible, you can pray, you can fast, you can do all of that, but who knows why our emotions sometimes go bonkers. It could be what you ate or didn't eat. It could be the amount of sleep you had or didn't have. It could be the amount of energy that you've expended at your job or the pressure that you're under. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It doesn't just have to be demonic. It can just be natural things that are happening around you. The problem is, if you don't understand that you've got to pull with the Word of God and faith in the Word of God, then you're going with the wind. You're up and down, up and down. You're questioning everything. You know, some people, they have no stamina. The first little flutter of bad emotions that come along, whether it's in their own mind or in a couple life or a job situation, they're just like, I'm out of here.
Amen.
The problem with that, you're going to be out of here all the time.
Right.
And you will not have a stable life. Now, I want to give you a definition for the word stable or stability, and I want you to write this down. The word stable means enduring. I'd kind of like to have an enduring walk with Christ. How about you? The word stable means permanent. It means not likely to fall. Ooh, I like that one. Everybody say, not likely. See, the devil come along and say, not likely. Devil come along and talk to you, you just respond back to him, not likely. I ain't putting my coal in your engine. I'm putting my coal in what God has given me. Write this one down. The word stable means resistant to change. You know, you think about something that's stable, it's resistant to change. It's reliable. It's reliable. Now, this is a book called The Renewal of the Mind. It's kind of an older book. It's by John and Lauren Sanford. And they have quite a ministry concerning the mind and so forth. But I just wanted to read you one section. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence by reading to you, but since I've got the book and you don't, I guess that's what we're going to have to do. I want to read this to you. And the title of this little section, there's just two paragraphs, it's called When Long Dead Thoughts and Feelings Return. How many of you ever had thoughts and feelings return that you thought, you know, you dealt with? Every one of us have. When long dead thoughts and feelings return. And here's what they say. The first lesson to be learned in the renewal of the mind is not to believe old carnal feelings and thoughts when they come back, even after prayer. How many counselors have wanted to drill this lesson into their counselees' heads? Old, long-dead feelings and thoughts will return. That's a guarantee. If we believe, because Jesus said these demons, they're going to come back and bring seven more with them. See? If we believe these thoughts, listen, if we believe these thoughts and feelings are what we really feel or think, we will have our problems back again. I want to read that sentence again. Listen closely. It says, if we believe these thoughts and feelings are what we really feel or think. In other words, if that's who you think you really are now, we have our problems back again. Because we have resurrected what was dead and have given it power in our life again. Please hear this, body of Christ. You have the heart and mind of Christ. That deserved an amen right there. Please hear this, body of Christ. You have the heart and mind of Christ. When the old returns, it is only an echo of the old self. Oh, I love that. It's just an echo bouncing back. Only an old, practiced, habitual way echoing again with no real power in it. It is not what you really feel or think unless you believe it and give it life and power. The purpose behind it is the desire of the old self to regain mastery of your life. That's the whole goal. The whole goal is the devil knows this. The devil knows that humankind, by and large, are ruled by feelings and emotions more than they are by faith in God's Word. So all the devil has to do is sit back and give instruction, shoot another fiery dart through his or her mind. And here comes that feeling. Here comes that thought. Here comes that old emotion that you thought you had dealt with. And to heap insult to injury, then the devil will shoot another one. Look how you're a bad Christian. Here comes condemnation. Now, you're a bad Christian. You know, you had dealt with that and here it comes again. You didn't really deal with it. There's no power in what you've been doing. And I mean, all of a sudden, these voices in your head and in your heart, these thoughts in your head and heart resonate, and they're trying to gain mastery of your life in place, look at your diagram, of the Word and faith. Now, I'll give you a little insight here. And again, if you'll get this, I know it's simple, but if you will get this, it will absolutely revolutionize your life. And that is that some days you're running with your caboose and some days you're running without your caboose. I want you to write that down in some shorthand fashion. There are some days that my train is going down the track and I either have no feelings or I have negative feelings and emotions. I call that running down the track, moving down the track of life without my caboose. But guess what? I'm still moving down the track. The problem is when you turn the engine off and you decide to park it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't park it. Amen. Don't park it. Well, you know, I don't have feelings. And there's times that I just feel numb or feeling less. There are other times I have negative feelings, sad feelings, like David. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? You know, like that one translation, why are you singing the blues? You know, you're in the mood to hear an old melancholy song. Let's just go ahead and feed some more fuel into that. Turn on one of those old sad songs. Sick, sober, and sorry. Poor, disgusted, and sad. Brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it? Started traveling for Jesus. I lost everything I had. Oh, that old hound dog. I hear the train whistle in the distance. Yeah, it's because it's left you on the track. Amen. Still trying out for the worship team, but they won't let me get up there. Now, go with me to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. Are you getting anything out of this? Honey, I know I'm not just up here whistling in the wind. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. And some of you, your life depends on it. Some of you, your marriage depends on it. You young people that are up here as graduates, your future depends on it. Those of you that are in the crucible right now of difficult times, your victory ultimately depends on it. Because if you don't learn to live by faith instead of feelings and emotions, the devil will just jerk you anytime he wants to jerk you. Now, I want you to look at this. This is a very short psalm. And there's something here that I want us to see that at least the King James says, the weaned soul. The weaned soul. Look at verse 1. David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You know, what I'm seeing David there, he's saying, you know, I've learned that I don't have to try to be somebody. I don't have to try to be, can I just, you know, borrow a phrase, I don't have to try to be uppity. I don't have to try to impress people. I don't have to have a snooty attitude. Everybody say the snooty attitude. You know, where you're just too good now to rub shoulders with somebody who has have a problem or somebody who's going through something. You're just too good to get out there and help them or pitch in. You know, that's called the snooty attitude. We don't like the snooty attitude. No snooty attitudes at WOCC. Amen. Goes on in verse 2 and he says, surely. Now I want you to mark verse 2 because verse 2 is where we're going with this. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Or that phrase, myself, can also be translated in the Hebrew, my soul. Surely I have behaved and quieted my soul as a child that is weaned of his mother. I want you to underline that. I call this the weaned soul. Just like a child has to be weaned, you know, away and quieted to stronger food. He says, my soul. Verse 2. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, David had learned something about his soul. Everybody say, my soul.
My soul.
Remember what your soul is. It's your mind, your will, your feelings, your emotions, that whole realm. He said, now I've trained my soul just like a child that's been weaned away. Now before a child is weaned, when a child screams, it wants food, changing, or some form of attention. And so often, that's the way a lot of Christians live their life, is they scream and they expect God to run down the hall and get their milk and pop it in their mouth. Ah! They just start screaming. Your soul starts screaming. All these feelings come on. And you just have that little tantrum. It's like, God, you better stick the bottle in my mouth. You better change my diaper. And God's like, you know, you're old enough to change your own diaper. Now, if you've ever been through the process of potty training a child, I won't use y'all as an example, by the way. If you've ever been through that process of potty training a child, it's not easy, and at times the child will be resistant to it. But as a parent, you know it's time for them to grow up. It's time for them to learn independence. It's time for me to be free. Hallelujah. You don't have to pay for those diapers anymore and do all that stuff. I mean, there's a time where that's proper. But there's a time that you want to move the child beyond that. Now, your soul is like that. Your soul, your feelings, your emotional realm, it wants to scream and expect, you know, an instant fix. Scream and God's going to pop that milk in your mouth, give you that answer. Or scream and there better be somebody come along that says, I have a word for you. Scream and somebody come along that has the anointing in their right hand and they feel it trembling every time they get around you. Scream and you're going to fall out of the Holy Ghost and shake on the ground or whatever your religious background or tradition is. Now, God can do any of that. God can stick the milk bottle in your mouth. God can send somebody with a word. I've had that happen in my life. I've fallen under the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you become dependent on that, are you hearing me?
Yes.
If you become dependent on that, you're no different than a junkie who needs a fix.
Amen.
And suddenly God becomes your supplier. Suddenly, God becomes your sugar daddy. Thank you very much, Laura. Your sugar daddy. Ooh, Laura and I could do a tag team. Ready to do a high five. Come on up here, Laura, and preach for a while. Amen. Amen. You get anything out of this? Now, when you wean that child away, there's a little effort involved. Everybody say effort.
Effort.
Everybody say effort.
Effort.
Because your soul... You know, there's no infant that goes, you know, Mom, I've really been waiting for you to wean me away from the milk. Or if they're breastfed, you know, I've just been looking forward to getting away from breastfeeding. You know. No, there's no child that does that. There's no child that says, I'm ready for this process. They all buck at it. They all resist it. They don't want to. Why? There's caressing. Whether it's bottle fed or breastfed, there's holding, there's touching, there's a closeness, there's a warmth. And suddenly you're going to set them in a high chair. I don't want to be in this high chair. This old wooden high chair is hard on my fanny. I don't want to sit here. I want you to hold me in your arms and stroke me like I've been used to. Like I've been used to. Like I've been used to. Like I have been accustomed to. Now, I'm going to take this further. Some of you, well, we're all aware of the whole drug problem in worldwide. I almost said our culture, but worldwide. But they have something where they take people off of drugs in rehab centers. They wean them away from a dependency on drugs. And there's something called withdrawals. Normally, there's something called withdrawals. Some people are blessed. They get a deliverance. So I'll have to go through that. But normally, there's something called withdrawals. Why? They've become accustomed to that drug. You getting anything out of this? How many of you want to grow up? A few of you didn't raise your hand. Look at your neighbor and say, I want you to grow up. Okay, maybe you don't want to grow up, but we're ready for you to grow up. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's going to be some withdrawals. Your soul is going to buck a little bit. Your soul is going to scream and nothing's happening. Where's that bottle? Been 30 seconds. Where's that personal prophecy? I got to put that in my prophecy manual. Well, I didn't feel the power to fall over, so I'll just fall over. I'll do a courtesy fall. We got some strange theology. I'll fall in faith. Yeah, you'll need to, because there ain't going to be no catcher up there. Amen. Somebody says, I hurt myself falling. I said, well, you know, God didn't hurt you. You just better not fall the next time you don't feel led to fall. I mean, if it's not God, don't do it. Don't everybody look at me with that charismatic look. I'm preaching good. Now, we pick on sometimes denominational churches for all their religiosity. I will tell you something. The Spirit-filled movement has a whole bunch of religiosity that has very minimal scriptural basis. Now, those things can happen. I am certainly not saying that. But to elevate them to a point of a major doctrine when it just occurred from time to time is really an improper balance. And it says God hates an unjust balance. Something that's not weighed out. Now, verse 2. David says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Everybody say, soul?
Soul.
Everybody say, soul?
Soul.
Be quiet.
Be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Look at your diagram. Everybody say, feelings?
Feelings.
I don't have to have you.
Now,
I'll take them if they're there. If the feelings of God are there and the good feelings, and you walk out and, hey, it's a blue sky. It's a pretty day. Or whether it's a blue sky and it's just like, well, okay, it might be a blue sky, but it's too hot. That's some people. It's a blue sky, but the humidity level's too high. You know, those kind of people, there's always something wrong. Okay, it's a blue sky, crisp air. I don't like the company. Maybe they don't like you. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now notice how faith comes in verse 3. He's saying, Israel, learn the lesson I've learned. That's really what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, I learned it. Israel, learn this lesson. To have faith, trust, hope in God. Look at verse 3. Let Israel hope in who? Now you mark that. Not in your faith. Or not in your feelings, not in your emotions. You're going to hope in your faith and trust in God. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Yeah, kind of the way I look at it. If this thing doesn't kill me, I'm still at the advantage. I can trust God. If I'm still breathing, then I've got a chance for victory. Even in death. Death, where is your victory? Let Israel hope in the Lord forever. Now, I want to read that verse to you from the Amplified before we go on. The Amplified says in verse 2, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Isn't that good? Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me, ceased from fretting. The Amplified says, ceased from fretting. How many of you have ever been fretting? Been fretting. Colossians 2. Now I want to give you a little handle, a little hook that's going to help you so much. It's helped me in my Christian life. In fact, when I discovered this diagram that I just gave you, and when I discovered this principle, I will tell you this, that's the day that I believe I became a man in the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, let me say that again. Some of you didn't get that. I said the day that you get a revelation of that diagram and what I'm about to share with you from Colossians, that's the day that you grow up and become the man or the woman in the Spirit that God intended for you to be. Now, in the natural, you might already be, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. But until you learn this whole idea of faith versus feelings and emotions, you're still as a child in the Spirit. Child in the Spirit. Colossians 2, and let's look at verses 6 and 7. You mark verses 6 and 7 in your Bible. So important, these verses. As you have therefore what?
Received.
Everybody say received.
Received.
As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now we're moving to a new level. So what?
Walk.
Now I want you to underline the word receive and underline the word walk. Or however your Bible puts it. There's two levels there. Did I receive Jesus because I felt so wonderful about myself? Did I receive Jesus? And is my salvation dependent on the joy of my salvation? Well, I'm sneaking up on you now. Is my salvation dependent? Because see, some of you had a grand salvation experience. I mean, you had feelings, you had emotions, you were delivered, and the joy of your salvation manifested. Others at the altar, they were weeping bitter tears. Others at the altar of salvation, they are regretful of the past and the things that have happened that cannot be undone. Though God forgive them, certain consequences were set in motion, and there's a weeping of bitter tears at the altar of salvation. So my question to you is your salvation, was your salvation dependent upon the feelings of your salvation? Absolutely not. Your salvation was dependent on what Jesus Christ did and your faith in His provision.
Amen.
Now, He says, don't leave that principle. Look at it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Oh, are you getting anything now? The same way that I received my salvation is the same way I'm going to receive my stability in God. By faith. In His ability. By faith. In whose ability? Now look at the next verse. Here's the handle. Here's the hook. Here's the handle. Here's the hook. Notice the stability, the picture of stability. Rooted. Everybody say rooted. Now, that's not a dandelion that you can pluck up. You ever seen how quick dandelions come up? You just pull them up and there's a couple little roots hanging there. We're talking about an oak tree. We're talking about a huge tree. You don't just walk up to a huge tree and pluck it up. You have to work to cut it down. Then you got to get the stump removal crew to come in there. He says, rooted and built up in Him, underline it, established in the faith. As you have been what? Did you know Paul went around teaching people how to have stability in Christ? He knew that just receiving Christ wasn't enough. He had to teach them how to walk in Christ. He says, as you have therefore received Him, so walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught. And here it is, circled. Here's the handle. You're going to do what? Abounding therein with what? Oh, honey, you need to mark that, because that is going to be the primary way you release your faith, is through thanksgiving. You need to get in the habit of, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know I'm big on that. If you've been around here, you know I'm big on the whole phrase of thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can say that a dozen ways. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
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 Oh, hallelujah. You need, every day, you need to have an atmosphere around of thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yesterday, some of us were helping Angela's family move, and so we had a lot of stuff we had to pick up, and I forget who it was, but somebody dropped something on my foot. I said, thank you, Jesus. I did. That was my first reaction. I'm not thanking Jesus because my foot got crushed. I'm thanking Jesus for the healing that I believe Him for. Amen. Well, first I was believing to get my foot out from under it. I said, pick it up. It was that big old metal frame bed or whatever that deal was, you know, and my foot was under it. Whereas before, well, I won't say what I said before, you know, but before B.C., before Christ, days, I would have told that metal bed frame where to go. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. In everything, I can give thanks. Doesn't mean I have to thank God as though it were sent from Him. I don't believe that everything that comes our way is sent from God. That's the whole point of spiritual warfare. There is a war. I mean, if you really believe that, then don't just leave your armor at home. No need to have armor. No, we're in a warfare. And so, but in the midst of anything, I can say, thank you, Jesus, which is a release at that moment of my faith in the provision. So go back to your diagram. We're about to wrap it up here. The coal I know it's tough. It's Sunday. The coal goes where? Don't anybody say the caboose, or I will flunk you. Talking about graduates, you will not pass. We'll take away your cap and gown. Hallelujah. Where does the coal go? Well, what is the engine? What is the coal? Now, go back to your diagram and add one other phrase below faith. I want you to add the phrase, abounding with thanksgiving. That's the primary mechanism that you're going to be able to release your faith. A lot of people, you know, it's like, how do I have faith? I don't feel any faith today. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I thank you, Jesus. I look at my checkbook and it's on zero. Thank you, Jesus. That it's on zero? Absolutely not. Thank you, Jesus, getting filled up. You know? I got a problem or a relationship that's not going right. Thank you, Jesus. What, that it's not going right? No, that God's going to invade that situation and bring a healing and a deliverance and an answer. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
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 Now, notice, amen. Martin, thank you, Jesus. Now, notice it says abounding. Everybody say abounding.
Abounding.
Now, let me just ask you this, and then we're going to ask the worship team to come back. Is abounding once a day?
No.
Does that qualify as abounding?
No.
That's like going to one of those gourmet restaurants, and you pay a big, and they bring it out, and they say, where is it? You ever been to one of those? There's your food. Where? Paying $50 for this thing. Where's the meat? Oh, there it is. I thought that was a picture on the plate there. That ain't abounding. Amen. About. Is twice a day abounding?
No.
No.
Three times a day, is that abounding?
No.
That's not abounding. Abounding is a bunch.
That's right. That's right.
That's theological. Everybody say a bunch.
A bunch.
It's a bunch. All through the day, I'm going to be releasing my faith through thanksgiving. And as I do that, it's just a tool, it's a mechanism that causes, look back at your diagram, for the fuel of faith to go into what God has said, what God's going to do, what God's promised in my heart, the answers, the promises of the Word, the change of the situation. It's the way to enforce my faith. And then there'll be days where I'm running with my caboose, and thank God for those wonderful days. But there will be other days that I can still go down the track, and I have no idea where the caboose is. It's vaporized, you know, it beamed me up, Scotty. I don't know where it went, but I will catch up with it. It'll catch up with me down the line.
Amen.
Praise God. But I'm still moving down the track. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.